Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Mitchell, and on this episode of the podcast, we had none other than Justin Choquette, who, if you've been on TikTok and Instagram Reels lately, you may know him as the guy who has escaped his 9-to-5 and now gets paid to hike mountains and travel the world. He's also worked with brands like Canon, Arc'teryx, Hydro Flask, and GoPro, which is pretty cool. And in this episode of the podcast, we chat all about what exactly he does, how he gets paid, how he makes his money, as well as how other people can get paid to travel the world like he does. So if that's something you want to do, you're probably going to learn something here. Anyways, on with the podcast. Justin, how's it going? How are you?
Pretty good. Just good. Chilling at home, working on my computer.
Nice. Well, thank you for coming onto the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Have you ever done a podcast before?
I've done, I think, like 3 or 4 podcasts now.
Oh yeah, nice. Mm-hmm. Can you say who they were for?
What was it? One was like photographer's mindset.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly can't remember what the other ones were. Can't remember the names of them.
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of funny because a lot of so far, you're the most experienced podcast guest. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. We've had Jacqueline, who has done a lot of podcasts, but you're definitely up there in terms of people who have done the most podcasts. So you probably get the drill, probably know how to answer your questions and stuff like that. So I guess.
Well,
do you want to dive in with the first question there, Mitch?
Yeah, I'll dive in with the first one here. This is classic. Literally everybody asks this, and I like to ask it just because then we get a baseline of where you're at and things like that. But like, how did you get into photo, video, and that just the creator space as a whole?
So I think I got into it when I was like 12 or 13 years old. I bought a GoPro and I was just obsessed with all the content those guys were making, and I want to make similar stuff. So bought a GoPro, I think it was like the Hero 3, and I just went out into the mountains, up into like the local mountains here, and shoot videos of my buddies mountain biking, and then eventually started shooting more hiking content and climbing content. And that's where it all began.
Nice. That's dope.
So for people that don't know, I've seen you on TikTok, on Instagram, things like that. And your kind of story that you kind of like tend to tell a lot is you started in the trades and you kind of escaped the 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And then now you're here being a full-time creator. Can you explain that journey a bit more and kind of maybe a bit more detail if you can?
So I went to school, graduated, and then I went and went to trade school to be an electrician, just down the normal path that everyone went, and I started working that job. I did that for almost 4 years, and I didn't really enjoy it. It's not something I was very passionate about, and I'd always been in love with photography and being kind of like my own boss, and I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So while I was working in the trades, I spent my time teaching myself through podcasts and reading books and watching YouTube videos on how to become like a really good photographer and how to build a business and market myself. And I was able to use that information over about a couple years to build up my business. And then I quit my job about 2 years ago and went full time as a professional photographer and, as you call it, influencer now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Was it your parents that were like, hey, do the trades thing? Were they the ones kind of like pushing towards that?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was. The parents, school counselors. Everyone's like, go to the trades. You'll make so much money. And then you get there and you see the reality of it.
Are your parents in trades themselves, or were they just like, oh, it's good, you should do it?
They were like, oh, it's good, you should do it.
I do have to say, trades are good, but it's a fuck ton of work. So it's
You
can make a lot of money, labor. But it's also, you're like waking up super early, like 5 a.m. You got to like work all day. Yeah. Get dirty, be outside all the time. So
interesting. Yeah, how, when you kind of like, so you're doing this in like on your off time, teaching yourself photography and whatever it is. And how long was that transition from like you kind of taught yourself and then you're like, you know what, I could do this. And like between when you decided, hey, I could do this full time and I'm going to quit, and to actually quitting, how long was that?
It was about like 6-7 months, I think.
Okay.
Right. So I was like, screw it, I'm going all in. And I didn't really have a big following then, or I think I had like maybe 10,000. I was like, for the next 6 months, if I can't break 100K and if I can't make this my full-time job, I'm just going to delete all social media. So I was like, I just went ham. And yeah, within 6 to 7 months, I was able to quit my job and go full-time.
Nice. Hey, that's that's a very quick transition then. Cause I know, did you have any like paying clients or anything like that before you did this? Or were you just like,
I had small ones, but I knew I could like scale it up. So I just scaled it up like really fast. And as soon as I start making more money from photography, and I was losing money working as an electrician, I quit that job and then went full-time.
Right. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, because I guess awesome. I know a lot of people think like, oh yeah, you got to get really, really good and kind of like perfect your craft before you even go out and start charging for it. And so some people might think like, oh yeah, that transition could take like 2 years, like the whole thing. But you're like, send it. We're going to do it in 6 months. I guess also you're young as well. So it's like worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario?
Yeah, exactly. Like I go do it and let's say I'm able to quit and I fail, like just go back and retry. Like,
Mom, Dad, can I move in again? Can I come back?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have parents who are supportive of it, it makes it so much easier. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you say that you're mainly a photo guy or a video guy, or do you do no video or both? Or?
I started out like in video and then I went to photo because it was a lot easier. And like I had an old Mac and it was terrible editing videos on that thing. Like load it up, walk around the house, make a meal, and it's maybe halfway done. Yeah. So I went into photo and then that's what kind of I focused on for the last like 7 years. And then when Reels came out, I started more focusing on video. And now I'm kind of like going all in on video just because I find it like a little more exciting than just taking photos now.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's like you could learn something to learn new that you could learn new. And
I mean, in terms of like the way I like to describe it is like photography, like two different icebergs here, but the photography iceberg, you can become a very, very, very good photographer in about a year and a half, mm-hmm. 2 years, and you've kind of fulfilled the whole thing.
Yeah.
Video, that iceberg is massive. Like you can be up in the top for like years and never go down and dig down into like all the other kind of facets and things behind that. Like
exactly.
There's so much other stuff behind it. It's like crazy the amount, the depth that videography can go and video stuff. As well as video is way more engaging. So in terms of just making content that resonates with people, it's easier to make an engaging video than it would be to say get a photo that really resonates with people. So
Oh yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. So yeah. That's interesting.
What's your main platform right now? Is it Instagram or TikTok or is it?
It's kind of Instagram, I'd say, just cause I don't know, TikTok, it doesn't seem to do very well like it did before. Yeah. And I don't know, it's getting banned in the States and I don't know, it's not like what it was a year or two ago. And Instagram is just better for building a community and having a connection with other people. Or you don't have that on TikTok.
Yeah, you can message people as well, because I know Instagram can DM people. TikTok, I still don't understand how that works. Like, you got to, like, be following both people.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's kind of a mess. So, there's also, have you heard of Clapper? The new
I haven't, no.
It's this TikTok competitor that's only in the States. And I went on, it's the weirdest thing, because it's the most, like, redneck, hick town, like,
white trash
kind of thing ever. I have it on my phone. I every now and again, I'll just flick through it to be like, what the hell is going on here? But it's an odd place. It's like an alternate reality of TikTok. Like you go on TikTok, you're like, okay, the typical usual stuff that you see. You go on here.
Pretty
like
liberal type viewpoints, and you got your kind of your progressive people. You go out to Clapper, and it's very
it's a weird alternate reality.
Yeah, I lifted my Jeep, and I did this, and I did all this white trash Southern America stuff. Not saying that South America or Southern America being Southern U.S. is bad at all, but it is. It's very typical.
That's just the type of videos that are on there, and if you ever try it out, you'll see exactly what I mean.
I'll have to check it out.
But we had this idea. We're like, hey, yeah, let's just like we'll make some like we want to get doing more reels and stuff. And we're like, let's just post them because like what's the harm? Let's just see what happens if we can go viral on Clapper and become clappists. I don't know what to call them. Like, yeah. We'll be a professional clapper. So yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny.
Have you guys heard of Lemon 8?
Oh, Lemon 8. I've heard of it. I don't exactly know what it is.
So it's like, I think it's what's going to replace TikTok. It's been going like super viral in Asia and Europe. And I think they just launched in the States. But it's like,
it looks exactly like TikTok. I just looked
it up. It's like TikTok and Pinterest put together. And I think it's also owned by Byance, so the same company that owns TikTok.
Yeah, they're probably going to crush it.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll be a Lemonator, a clapper, and a TikToker, and an Instagrammer, and a YouTuber. Just all those. That would be, that's nice. Now, that gets to the point where, like, there's so many platforms now to start posting to. Like, you can do, like, I can already name, like, five different ones. Oh, yeah. So that becomes like a chore. Holy.
Mm-hmm. So you're on Instagram and TikTok. Do you want to be on any other platforms like YouTube or any of those kind of longer form maybe platforms?
Yeah. Like my goal for this year is to get on YouTube. I have like a couple terabytes of video content from the last year that I've been filming that I need to edit for YouTube vlogs. So that's my goal whenever I get to that.
Nice.
But yeah I really want
to. Good luck out
there.
it can be pretty rough at times, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I'd say YouTube, out of all the things, is like the toughest egg to crack in terms of like a social media platform, just because you need so much time and effort into each piece of content, because the quality of content on YouTube now is just very good. It's hard to compete with a lot of things. So you got to find a very unique angle. Or just like, I don't know, it's a tough one to crack. Just keep going.
Like someone for like you who does like travel and adventure content, you're going to like, I mean, as much as I don't want to say this, YouTube has kind of gone the way of like Mr. Beast, kind of like where it's just like kind of like pretty sensational things. So like someone like you could do topics like, oh, I brought a pizza to the top of a mountain. Cause I remember I saw a TikTok of you eating a pizza on top of a mountain one time, or if you can correct me if that's wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw that from you.
That's right.
And and I like, if you did kind of like a vlog about that, like you getting your pizza, taking it to the mountain and showing the journey, that is content that I think could do quite well for you, but you do kind of need some sort of an angle to work on it. If you want to try to be successful, because just like the classic, like, hey guys, I'm hiking to the top of a mountain today. Like it's not as cool anymore as it used to be back in 2016 or 2017. So.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I think that's what I also like about short form video is that it forces you to design videos that can get a high view count, and then you could grab attention really fast.
Yeah.
So I think
you learn the skills on TikTok, and they're easy to transfer over.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just longer form.
That's interesting. I do have to say that on YouTube, though, the story has to be like way more, there has to be way more depth to the story. Because TikTok, pizza to the top of a mountain, that right there is just more than enough. But in YouTube, you have to kind of have more behind it for people to care about it, especially to keep them there for like a 10-minute long video. So it's like, it's definitely like YouTube is where you'll definitely master your storytelling skills for sure. Because kind of like you have to, it's kind of like the whole thing, especially to fill up 10 minutes. Do you ever post your TikToks and stuff to, say, YouTube Shorts or anything like that?
Yeah, I've been, like, starting to do that over the last couple months. They've been doing okay. But, I think it's just one of those things where it just takes a long time to get traction.
Exactly. Yeah,
it does.
Especially going from nothing, like having zero followers or anything like that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So you're traveling all the time. Where are you off to next? What's your next big adventure?
Flying down to California tomorrow morning, going down there for like a vacation for a week.
Nice.
And after that, I don't know. I usually don't know until like a week or two before.
Yeah. Are you like doing any, like, are you doing, making content down there, or are you just going there for fun, for a vacation?
Well, I'll probably make content down there because that's what I do all the time. That's what I consider fun. But I'm just going down just to chill and go like to a couple national parks and hang out.
Are you going to Yosemite and that area, or are you going somewhere else?
I'm going down to Joshua Tree and then probably go to Death Valley and some of the surrounding areas down there.
Oh, yeah. That's dope.
Wicked. That's awesome.
So switching gears, let's go into photography then. What is your current kit, like what do you shoot with?
So I got the Canon 5D Mark IV with 24-70
DSLR, not mirrorless.
Yeah
interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. I think I'm gonna have to, like, I've borrowed a bunch of stuff from Canon on my last couple projects. I've been using like the R5 and all the mirrorless lenses, and it's so nice. It's like light.
Yeah, but yeah, because you're a Canon ambassador. No, what is it called?
I'm a Canon like creator and teacher. I think they put like on their website too.
Right. Nice. So what? Like, actually, can you provide more context? Like, what is that whole thing? How does that work?
So pretty much, I was like part of this Futures program a couple years ago, and that's how I got the introduction to Canon. And now, I've done a course with them. So actually, we just did a course like a few it's probably a couple months ago now. So I filmed a course with them teaching social media and short form video. So I've done that with them, and then I've done a project we filmed a commercial in Pakistan last year, going to K2. So that was in collaboration with Canon, and then another company called Blue Banana. Done stuff like that, and just a bunch of random stuff.
Nice, nice. So there, I guess
you get kind of free gear, or
no one gets free gear.
Shoot,
do you get? But you said you get to borrow gear, right?
Yeah, yeah. I get to borrow gear.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. So at least you get to try it out and use it on some stuff.
But, yeah. Yeah. So that, man, that's,
I'm surprised they
nice.
Don't give you like a little bit of a deal. Be like, oh yeah, try out the new R3. Be pretty sweet.
I wish.
Yeah. That's a tough thing. Cause I know that like, there's a lot of people who'd say work with camera brands, but they rarely ever give cameras out for free. I think it's like a slippery slope for them. Cause once they do that for one person, they got to do it, like probably do it for everybody. And then
it's
quite expensive.
Yeah.
So.
Like the only camera company I've heard of doing that is Sony. And I've only heard of them doing that with like a couple people, but everything else.
Go ahead.
Sorry, you could go.
I was gonna say, cause I've heard that they've done it where it's more like a loan system where they do like kind of like borrow it for a long extended period of time.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. People just say they're giving it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But I know GoPro is more than happy to give you their camera. Like, they're tossing them out the window, as far as I know, like just as much as they can. So that's kind of funny. Yeah. But yeah, that's nice. Yeah. So I guess Canon is kind of like, I guess, so if you had a project and you're like, hey, I want to do this, can you guys like lend me a camera or something? Would they be like, yeah, for sure. Like, you just kind of pitch them stuff.
Or I'll just like shoot them an email or text and be like, hey, I'm going to Argentina. Could I borrow a R5 and these lenses if you have them available? They'll be like, yeah, sure. And then they'll send them out, and then I get it for however many months I'm gone. And then I just give it back to them.
Nice.
So it's like, it's really awesome with that.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. That's, that's kind of like the dream for a lot of people, where it's just like, I can just get the newest gear, best of the best and stuff like that. Cause obviously like, cause those cameras are kind of expensive, not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
if you don't have to pay for it and you can still get to use them, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I have a question here, which is like, this is kind of related to your, like where you're traveling to next question, but I'm curious about this. How often are you actually traveling versus how often you're like, you post about it? Cause from what your posts make it look like, you're out there all the time, every week you're going somewhere new. How often are you actually going to new places versus like repurposing that content and just posting it and making it look like you are?
So for hiking content, so like all the content I shoot, all the hiking content is pretty much shot here in British Columbia or down in Washington. That's where I do most of my stuff. So that I go out whenever it's nice. So, for example, I went out last week, like a couple times last week. I went out like this week or last weekend. And then I'm not going to be going out probably for another like 2 weeks just because it's pouring rain out. But I'll be right now, this is an exception, but I'll be in California for shooting stuff. So usually if it's hiking content, it's like usually shot every single week. And then for travel content, for example, like, it really depends also where I'm going. When I went to Argentina and Chile, the internet down there is terrible. So it's pretty much, it's impossible. Like, I think it took me like 5 hours to post one story. It's impossible to post content down there. So I was gone for almost a month and I didn't post for really like an entire month. And then I just posted all that content when I got internet connection when I came back to Canada. So it's like stuff like that. So probably international trips. They happen every like couple months and I could be gone for a few months. And then all the local trips are happening every single week whenever it's sunny.
Right. The how many places have you been? Because I saw you went to Patagonia, mm-hmm. which is like, and then Argentina area and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, where else have you been anywhere else?
I've been to like other countries or?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I've been to Australia, Thailand, Pakistan, like a ton of stuff in America. I think that's all of them right now. Usually I spent like most of my time just traveling around Canada and British Columbia and going down to the States. Yeah. I just started like doing international stuff within the last like year and a half.
We we also live in BC, but we don't travel enough around BC, which I'm kind of like, I don't know, ashamed to say, just because like everyone's like, a lot of people are coming here for vacations or
mm-hmm. they're going to Banff and
they're going to Banff, which is like 5 hours away. But for some reason, I don't go all that often. Like, I've been to Banff once, and mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not enough. I need to go more. So like this summer, I want to do more of that. So it's kind of funny because like I gotta get out more, especially in BC, because I'm always looking to like go somewhere else, being like, oh, Europe or like across the ocean somewhere.
Well, I feel like if you look at it, like just British Columbia is bigger than like Europe, or almost as bigger than Europe.
Massive.
You drive 8 hours and you've barely even like left the main area.
You could go 8 hours and you're still halfway up and you're just like,
Do you know Prince Rupert, BC? Steven and I were born there, so we go back quite often. Probably every summer we go back, and it's you drive for 16 hours and you're still in the same province, and it's like, holy shit, like this is ridiculous. You're still only halfway up BC. Like, you still got another half. If you wanted to keep going, you just still could.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And then like I'll talk to people who are from Europe, and they're like, oh, we drove 4 hours and we crossed like six countries.
Like, and it was so long.
Like, here you drive 4 hours and I'm at Whistler. I've crossed two cities and that's it.
It's just massive. So I don't do I mean this is so stupid of me, but I don't explore in BC enough. But I think next year or this year I've gotten into like backcountry skiing and stuff like that. So want to get doing more of that once winter comes and things like that. Hit the mountains and then that'll be a totally different story. Ask me again in a year from now and hopefully I would have a better answer for that. So
Okay, here's another. This is more like creator kind of focused, TikTok focused. But if somebody was out there listening to this and they have zero followers, zero on everything, and let's say they have like a very basic photography skill, what would you say, what would be, or actually let's say if this was you and you had went down to zero followers and had kind of like a pretty okay skill in photography, what is your game plan to become a creator again? Like, if it was tomorrow, what would you start doing?
Start practicing every single day. So go out every single day and shoot something, doesn't matter. Practice editing like crazy. Are we just talking about photos or videos too?
Sure. Whatever okay. you would want to do.
However you get there. Make money on the camera.
Okay. So today I would say, if you want to use social media, practice. Just practice on your photography skills and try to get those up as high as possible. And just watch a crazy amount of videos. I know like Peter McKinnon's older videos were really, really good for teaching photography. Learn how the eye captures light and what our eyes are attracted to. I think that's a really important thing that most people don't focus on. And then for social media, just post every single day. And for videos, just create storytelling videos on Reels. That's what's doing extremely well right now and will probably be doing really well over the next like year or two.
Yeah. I mean, a story is king at the end of the day. So that makes a ton of sense. Any tips that you could give somebody to be like, do these things, or like quick bullet points or how to tell a better story?
First, you got to start off with a hook point. So in the first 1 to 3 seconds of the video, have something that's going to capture the viewer's attention. And then go immediately into telling the story and try to get to the climax of the story as soon as possible, and then resolve the story as soon as possible in for this for short form. So try to resolve it as soon as possible and have a call to action to get the person to follow you at the end of the video. That's what I'd say. Like,
so that's like the typical, I guess that's pretty much like a three-act narrative then at the end of the day. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Pretty standard, like beginning, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. I know that like the way I like to describe it is like hook, content, payoff. Like they're always, one of the biggest things that a lot of people don't do is they never have a reason for why the person should even watch to the end. Like there's no payoff. So at the end of the day, there's no point in watching this video. Like why would anybody watch your video versus someone else? And so that's another, just three acts. And stick
but,
to that.
As so you said reels. So you would stay, like basically say reels is kind of where I'm going to go for this hypothetical situation.
Yeah, I'd use reels because I think that's the easiest to go right now. If it was like a year ago, I'd say use TikTok. But you could still probably try to use TikTok. But I don't, it's like hit and miss now.
Yeah. I guess if you're doing though, you could post to both platforms.
Yeah,
just
kind
of see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. So. Might as well. Like just post on YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, and TikTok, and then whatever else is coming out next.
Right.
I just repurpose all the content on all of them. Oh, and Pinterest. Put it on Pinterest too.
Does Pinterest do well?
Yeah. So like what I'll do is I'll post it on Instagram, and then I'll go like on the post and I'll go share to Pinterest. Then I post it to Pinterest, and then like a lot of people use it as kind of a search platform. So like say they see a video of like the Milky Way, they'll click on it and it takes them to Instagram, and then they watch the video.
Interesting. Have you actually seen anything, like have you had a video pop off on Pinterest and
so
get some traction?
I'm not like, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell on Pinterest, like their analytics aren't the best. But what I find is like, you'll just start, like I haven't really used it that much lately, which hasn't been good. But when you start posting on it every single day, over like 2 or 3 months, you'll start to get like a couple hundred thousand profile views. And when that happens, you're getting, I think, like millions of impressions on your content. So then that could go to your blogs or Instagram posts or wherever it's linking out to.
Right. And do you need content that like, say, good looking content kind of thing? Like, is it more about the visuals of the content versus say if you did like a tutorial kind of thing?
Yeah, well, it has to have like just a good thumbnail, so like just something to get them to click on it. I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, because from what I know, like Pinterest is very like artsy kind of like, it's very aesthetic focused versus like information focused.
Yeah, but I think like also a lot of people use it to post their blogs on, and I know a lot of girls go on there to find ebooks or blogs on something they're looking for. So
if you're single, you should be posting to Pinterest, is what you're saying. It's the new dating app.
Exactly, yeah.
I take photos. I take good photos. Follow me. Nice. That's kind of funny. I would never have thought of Pinterest. That's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess every platform, all the content all at once is the best way to do it.
That's right. Yeah, of course. Now, how often are you traveling alone versus with people? Because sometimes I see you with people, sometimes I see you without people. And I'm just curious how often you're doing that.
So I used to do a ton of stuff alone, like backpacking and traveling alone. Now I try to do it with people just because it's just more fun. It kind of gets boring when you're doing it alone. Yeah. So right now, like some of my hiking trips, I'll go alone. But usually I'm with people, and any international trips, I always try to like bring one of my friends with me or I'll be with a group of people, like other influencers who are invited on the trip too.
Yeah. So I'm guessing there's been
friends. I was just gonna say, like your friends that you're bringing on this, are they like, are they also doing photo video, or are they just like friends that you're like, hey, come on this trip. And they're like, okay, I got to request time off work.
They're in school and working, but they also do photo or video. So I hire them as my assistant.
Right. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Now, so I'm guessing there have been moments when you say have gone hiking on your own, like out into the wilderness all by yourself.
Oh yeah.
Wow. That's some dedication right there. I know that my biggest, like, I have so much respect for solo creators in terms of, like, people who do their stuff solo. A big, do you know who Aiden Robbins is? He's a filmmaker.
It sounds familiar.
He's on YouTube, big on YouTube, filmmaker. We've shot with him a few times. But I have so much respect for that guy because he does everything solo, like, goes out and films and everything. And I'm like, and this is long-form content and, like, even doing what we do, which we do it, like, with a, I don't know, a group of people because obviously we have the ability to. But, like, him doing his thing, I'm just so impressed being like, how do you pull that off? Especially stay motivated by yourself to keep going. So it's impressive people doing it solo. And especially if you're hiking a mountain solo, that's like a whole other beast.
Yeah. It is like, it's difficult, especially like shooting longer form content, like solo. It's very difficult and it takes a long time, especially when you have to like, especially for hiking. So you have to walk up the trail, put the camera down, walk back, shoot it, walk past it, go back, pick up the camera, just repeating that. So it's a lot nicer when you have other people. But that's kind of the reason why I haven't posted a YouTube video yet, because I start and then like I'm like, oh, the sun's setting, I'm just gonna run up the mountain, screw this video, go shoot sunset.
Exactly. You kind of resort to what is kind of the easiest and most potent. Where YouTube, like, obviously, because you don't have a huge audience on YouTube, that's not your priority. So you're like, God, I gotta get this video out. So YouTube's taking a backseat on this one, but. Yeah, that's if you could do everything, I mean, that would be like everybody would be doing like, I know a very popular thing is doing YouTube stuff, but it is such an undertaking. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So, doing this stuff alone, even with people or whatever, how do you stay motivated doing what you do and creating content? Is there like, are there things you do in your daily routine that help you do that and not burn out? Or is there like, you just like, hey, I just love it and I do it? Or is there like,
I love what I do. It's crazy I get paid for it. And then I'll just like, if I'm getting tired, I'll just like read a book or I'll go to the gym. I usually do that. Like sometimes I'll go to the gym twice a day. Just go run on the treadmill or do the Stairmaster and go work out for an hour. I'll do that. I find going for hikes like on the weekends or during the week whenever it's nice, that's always a nice break. I think that's pretty much it.
Are you ever doing hikes that you're not filming content for, just to do
a hike? Sometimes I'll do it like sometimes. I'll bring my stuff with me, but if it's like crappy weather, I won't. But I always bring my cameras with me because I've done hikes where I've just left them and it's like the most beautiful sunset ever.
Yeah, you're like frick, I wish I brought my I have another question. You can you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but as a full-time creator doing what you do, what do your revenue streams look like? Like, where you say you get paid to do this full-time, but a lot of people would have the question of like, where does that money come from? Is it like sponsors? Is it digital products? Is it paid from TikTok, which I know doesn't really pay very well or if at all in Canada? So like, I'm just curious what your revenue streams look like as a creator like this.
So it's from commercial photography. So shooting like, commercial photography. So product shots.
For brands, for companies.
Yeah. And then, so I make money off that. And then I make money off the licensing of those photos. And then like also the usage of those photos. So off the commercial stuff, I'll make commercial like videos. So like, it's more, or in the last like 2 years, it's more been short form ads. So I'll shoot short form ads for brands too on the commercial side, which never.
Can
see
you
the
say
light of day.
What brands these are? Some of them, not all of them, but.
They're like, what are some of them? Like I did, I think I'm allowed to say, like Mary Brown's, that was one I recently did. Okay. I posted that on my page just because I really liked the video.
I saw that one. I thought it was kind of funny. That was the chicken on the top of the mountain.
Is it big brands or is it sometimes they're just smaller, kind of like less known brands?
Now they're all bigger brands because they pay more and they're like, they pay my rates. So I find let's say I'll do one of those a month and that'll be fine. I'll cover everything and I'll like make a lot of money off of that. Where before you'd have to shoot like 10 small brands, and they're just a pain in the ass to work with because these guys have no idea what they're doing. They think they know how to make viral content and shoot photos and all that, and they like to give you their opinions when they're paying you to do that job. So like I've stopped, like if it's a small brand and if they can't afford my rates, I will not work with them just because it's not worth it.
It's just a thousand revisions. Like,
death by a thousand revisions. Are you, going out to these brands, or are they coming to you, or how does the client acquisition process look like?
Yeah. So I have, it's kind of both. Like I'll have a lot of brands reach out to me, and then I just have my manager, she, emails them and does all that for me. And then I've started I figured let's say you're making $10,000 a month from brands that are coming out to you. You're losing $10,000 a month from not reaching out to brands. So I've started reaching out to a lot of brands just because I kind of enjoy it and I like making pitch decks.
And are you sending them an email, or what is it? What does the reach out look like?
Yeah, I'll usually sometimes send them a DM on Instagram to get a contact to the company, or I'll have their email from past jobs I've done with them, or when they've reached out with other campaigns that we didn't end up working on. So I'll have their emails from that, and I'll just email them and just send a pitch about hey, I'm going here and I'd love to do this for you, and we're going to be doing this and this and this, and it'd be great for your brand.
Do you send them a media kit as well, or is who I am and kind of what I can do and my following and things like that?
Yeah. I have a media kit with all of my past client, or a few of my past clients, previous work I've done, analytics of past campaigns that I've worked on, so how well they've done, and then all my social stats breakdowns and who I am, stuff where I'm going. Oh, yeah, just stuff like that.
Are you, what is the, say the, if you can share, mm-hmm. inbound versus outbound? So people that come to you versus people you reach out to, what percentage of work that you're doing is either in either one of those?
It's more people probably reaching out to me. Yeah. Just cause it's always easier to secure those jobs.
It's easier. They already know that they want you versus mm-hmm. somebody being I don't know. And then it's got to sell them on it essentially. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you could also charge more because they're the ones reaching out and they're wanting you, so it's just it's super easy then.
Are you creating short form for them, or are you creating or doing photos, or both, or
it's not? It's both. Sometimes I've had a few where they've reached out about doing commercials, so I've done those. It's more all short form because that's what everyone wants, and it's also a lot of TikTok stuff now because I think all these brands are finally realizing TikTok's the place to be, but they're a little late on that now. So that's what it seems for the last few months, everyone's been wanting, or half a year, everyone's been wanting TikTok content.
Right. Yeah. Can you, what would you consider cause you're obviously at a position now where you're doing this full time. What would you consider having made it? What's the making it in your eyes?
Or what is even the next, say, 5 years, 5 to 7 years of your life look like, ideally, according to you?
Ideally, I like to have I don't know, I'm really business oriented, and I love being an entrepreneur and kind of stuff like that. So ideally, I'd like to start maybe another brand or a couple brands. Have that going, just be making revenue from that. And then
do you have an idea of what space they would be in? Would it still be the TikTok travel space, or would it be something totally different?
It'd probably be something totally different. Ideally maybe a physical product.
Okay.
Right.
Doing something
clothing,
like that.
Or would you kind of do something other than clothing?
Probably, I don't know. I'd have to study and see what a good market is to be in. I think clothing could be a good one if you know how to get your marketing down straight, and that'd be easy for me because I could do all the photography and advertisement on it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. Interesting. But probably having running a business and then just doing photography and that.
Right.
Just working for clients that let's say Solomon reaches out and I just work with them that year. just because I love that brand and it'd be fun content to produce.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. The do you have, like, are you just doing this all by yourself, or do you have, like, do you have people that you work with, a team at all, or are you just carrying the whole
weight? Been, like, mostly by myself.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But eventually, like, I like to start, like, getting more people just because it makes it easier and it saves me a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, like, us, grow. Too, because, like, we've, like, we're doing, like, mainly YouTube stuff, and we've done, like, the biggest thing is, like, we took a break about, like, for like 7 or 8 months posting from YouTube and kind of just went dark on everything because we were just so burnt out. And so coming back, our number one thing was like, hey, if we're going to do this, we want to do this sustainably. And so the biggest thing is like we have an editor that we work with, as well as we want to just expand the team of like TMS Productions as the team of people, because that just helps us stay sustainable for so much longer, because it takes a lot of weight off your shoulders. Because before we were working like crazy hours and it was ridiculous and so unattainable and so unsustainable. So now that's kind of our, one of our guiding pillars is like sustainability. So we're like still working with an editor, but we want to start expanding the team very soon. So it sounds like I'm very impressed you're doing this solo.
Well, I got like a manager a couple months ago, so she's been helping a lot with like the like sending emails and doing all that stuff. So that's kind of taken off my plate, and where I could focus more on like building like out my digital products. So redoing that, making those into a physical like book, and then building up my course. But like, I'd like to within the next year have an editor, so I don't have to spend all this time editing these videos dealing with all that kind of stuff that I should stuff I shouldn't be focusing a lot of my time on.
An editor, I just say an editor is one of those things that once you have a good editor that you've kind of trained and they know what to do, it is literally like night and day. Everything changes. You're like, oh,
I have so much time.
You have so much time back because a lot of it is spent editing. And especially like, but the biggest thing is just training an editor to be good, because like otherwise you spend all the time you would have been editing just going through revisions on like basically having them do the same thing, and you're paying for it. Where it's like, because there's a lot of examples where you're like, you'll do something, they'll send something back, and with the amount of time you spend on revisions, you're like, I could have gone in and just edit this myself and I would be done already. But you gotta like, but and then you're also paying to do revisions on, like you're paying them as well, so it's like it's a double hit on both sides where it's time and money. And so you just got to be careful, like you got to just get a good editor, but once you get one that you train, it is so nice. It is very good. So in the future, good luck out there.
That's why I haven't got one yet, just because that reason. But so, we'll see.
I'm sure you could find some great people if you put up on or on your Instagram and stuff. You could probably find some pretty talented people.
That's what we do. We just post on Instagram and say, hey, we're looking for an editor, and then have a Google form, and they fill it out, and then we just sift through all the applicants. That's where we found our editor. So
we get so many, we get like multiple emails a day about people being like, hey, I can do short form content for you. Like short form's the place to be. And we never like respond or anything like that, because I'd rather hire from like our audience and kind of like, I don't know, pay your audience back, being like, hey, if someone's out there who wants to do this, they can potentially work with us. And I'd rather do that than have some random guy just give us an email and like just happens to work with us. I'm like, no, I'd like to give back to the community and kind of make it so like there's actually a, like, I don't know. They also know who we are beforehand, but versus just some guy. So
I know what you mean. Yeah, I get those things too.
Yeah, I'm sure you get a ton of, especially you being TikTok native, kind of like you probably get a ton of people being like, short form, and they're telling you how like how good short form is, and you're like, I already post a short form. I know.
I got an email the other day. Someone was like, oh, I could help you like quit the 9-to-5 and make like social media full time.
That's
job.
My
like,
whole shtick.
I was like, dude, maybe take a look at my stuff again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you could tell that it was just a mass email. You could just tell that they found your email as well as in a list with everybody else's, and they just sent you the same email, because you're like, obviously you have no idea what I'm actually doing.
That's is so funny. Those are things that just drive me up the wall. Like just. Attention to detail. At least if you're gonna email me, at least read and know who I am. But
yeah
it is what it is.
The Okay, so like what in the, say, the creator space, whatever, mm-hmm. TikTok, short form reels, is there any like opportunities that you see that someone is not taking advantage of? Like you see this, maybe this type of content or this type of style or something, in your, or even just even if it's you're in your own content mm-hmm. and style and the kind of niche that you're in, and you're saying like, hey, more people should be doing this because this is so easy and it's just, it's working for me.
Or even or, as well as you're something like, hey, I see this. I'm not going to go chase this myself. However, if someone went and did this, they'd probably crush it and like do very well.
I think it'd be like just storytelling, because I think that's like, I've been posting a couple videos like that and they've been got like, one has 5 million, another one has 4 million. Like I'm getting hundreds, like usually before you'd get like a couple hundred thousand and then be back down to like 50,000 views, which would be really low. And now it's like, I did a couple of these and it was like a couple hundred thousand, another couple hundred thousand, another couple hundred thousand, couple million, and another couple million. So it's just, I'd say storytelling. That's like just right. telling a story. It doesn't have to be anything exciting. It could be doing like going on a little hike, going right. to the mall and shopping for something. Just telling stories, because I see like everyone's tired of this one-shot content, like you just yeah, scroll like just on
the cool montage yeah. whatever, like it looks awesome
yeah, and like using the same trending song over and over. Like yesterday I was scrolling, it was like same song. It's like this is okay, it's good content, but it's like I hate it. I don't care that you saw this stuff. I'm tired of yeah. hearing the exact same song over and exactly. over again.
I was on That's... TikTok yesterday and I heard that, you know, that Smooth Operator song that yeah. like it's like popping off right now. Mm-hmm. Literally three in a row at least. We're like, okay, Smooth Op. Okay, it's same song. And it's same yeah. thing. It's like, oh my God, just come on, guys. Choose something yeah. else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, interesting. For I won't even use, like, I just use songs off of Artlist or MusicBed now. Like, oh, I yeah. won't use any music from MusicBed TikTok music or Instagram.
Slaps. Yeah, MusicBed mm-hmm. is a great place to get music. And so that's really interesting. So that video that did 5 million views, what was that story? Was it anything special?
That was, no, not really. It was just me climbing a mountain and saying I slept here and then showing the Northern Lights. Or I guess, I'm not sorry, the Milky Way. But I guess that could be seen special if you're not used to that. But
no, true, exactly. Yeah. For you, it's like so normal. Like, oh, whatever, blasé, yeah. whatever it is. And then everyone's like, dude, this is insane. Like, most people can't even see the Milky Way from where they are. So,
mm-hmm.
well, exactly. Yeah, I saw a TikTok as well of this guy that I think it did really well, and I was like, this is a perfect story. This guy, I think this kid lived in California, and he said, I'm gonna try and go see the Northern Lights for the cheapest amount of money possible. Mm-hmm. So he bought it, like, it was like, he said, I bought like a $200 flight from California to Anchorage, Alaska. Then when he got there, he rented a U-Haul truck so he could rent a car, drive it up this mountain to go to this place to see these Northern Lights. And I remember seeing this. This is probably about a year ago now that I saw this, but mm-hmm. I was like, it did really well. And I was like, that right there is a perfect story.
That is,
because
it's got
everything. It's got the payoff. It's got the kind of the wow factor, but it's also got a little bit of like a kind of like an interesting little way of how you get there. And he's like, I'm going to try and do it for the cheapest way possible. And it's like, mm-hmm. and he ended up spending, I think, only $500 to go see the Northern Lights, which is pretty cheap.
Yeah, from being in Southern California, which is, that's pretty dope. Huh, that's a good idea. That's a
really good story.
Maybe we should hijack that idea.
Yeah, I know. maybe I'll cut this out of the podcast.
Nobody do that.
It's mine. I found it first.
Now you're on TikTok and you start seeing so many people. I went here to the cheapest money, like for the cheapest possible. I did this, and then it's just like, God, that's so fun. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's actually, yeah, I'm really thinking about it now. I was like,
me too. Okay,
well, we should do that.
We'll do a three-way collab. We can all bank on that content. okay, some other questions here that are not photography, creator, mm-hmm. whatever, social media focus. When you're not traveling around and making content and taking photos, what are you doing for fun? What do you like to do?
Well, this might be weird, but I like to sit at home and work on my computer. Okay. Edit videos. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I do for fun. I'll go to the gym.
Nice. Yeah, gym guy.
Yeah, do that. Go hike. I don't know. Like, everything I do for fun is what I also get paid to do. So
yeah,
that's I like...
guess, yeah, true. Well, that's like place to be. Like, you're doing like lifestyle content at that point. Mm-hmm. It's basically just living your life and
Yeah.
Filming it,
yeah.
That kind of thing. So
are you, do you ski? Do you snowboard? Do you anything like that?
Yeah. I snowboard and splitboard. So in the winter, I'll do a ton of that.
Right. Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing I've seen that you do backcountry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's also so you can get more content. It's a content mission at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love doing backcountry. It's so much better than like a resort. You might get one run in, but like climbing up a mountain and
it's so worth it.
Snowboarding down it is just like, you just can't beat it.
Yeah.
Going back to storytelling. Well, that's the perfect, like, what is it? Content and then payoff. Mm-hmm. You're climbing the mountain. Yeah. Payoff is going down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's really funny. This is another kind of off topic to what we were talking about, but do your parents, do they support what you're doing? Are they like, this is awesome? Or are they like, oh, we don't know what this is.
How go back to the trades.
kind of both. Like, I don't think really anyone or like around their age or who isn't like in our generation understands what's going on.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, how the heck are you making money? Like, what are you doing? No one really understands that social media is the new billboard and commercial side of things. Like, I'm a walking billboard. Like, that's what I sell ads. That's what social media is.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because, I mean, we've had very lengthy conversations with our parents being like, this is exactly how it works. Like, I'm laying it all. Like, it's the just like a TV show, but they don't pay money for the TV show. Yeah. We are the TV show, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I actually had a conversation with my grandfather, like, I guess it would be 3 or 4 days ago now. And he's like, I still don't understand it. I'm like, okay, just like the radio.
Good thing you don't have to understand it for it to work. Yeah. Like, he doesn't need to know what's going on for me to make my money.
But he was interested in it. And I was like, I mean, typically he's just like, he just doesn't understand. But he's like, I really want to understand this. So I'm explaining like, okay, radio, advertisements on the radio. Like, you should know what radio is, obviously. Like, that's your speed. And then it's just like that, but it's a video, and people pay us to put their brand next to our video.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of whole thing. And he's like, I just still don't understand. Like, that just, like, money. Like, I don't know why they pay you money for that. I'm like,
I know.
It's just like eyeballs. It's anything like that. So I just thought it was kind of funny. So.
Yeah, no one understands it.
Yeah, no. It's like the whole digital media thing. Well, that, like, being a creator and this kind of thing has only been a thing for less than a decade in the form it is now. So it's just like, it's so new.
Yeah. Like, even the king, which is kind of a good thing. The king government governments don't even know what we're doing, and they don't even know how to charge us for taxes or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. There's probably gonna be a lot of regulation in the next few years being like,
oh yeah,
you can do this. Or like, cause especially being a creator and like doing what you, for especially YouTube and stuff, I can write off a ton of stuff technically from an accounting perspective for my taxes, because like, say I could be like, I could buy a shirt and be like, oh no, this was in a video once, this is a prop for a video, write that off. Or like, even then, like my toothpaste, I could write off my toothpaste because it keeps my teeth healthy, so when on camera I look good, right? So you could write off everything in your lifestyle from an accounting perspective, but I'm sure that there's gonna be a bit of regulation there being like, you can't start writing off anything and everything in your life if it shows up in a video once, right?
Yeah.
Because
like,
theoretically I could go on a vacation to like, what is it, Thailand for a month, post one Instagram story and be like, my entire trip was just to get that one Instagram story. You obviously can't tell me otherwise. And so I could write the whole thing off.
That's so true.
Yeah. So that's an interesting kind of way to.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't catch up on all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy
that's not to say that we've done that. Like, just for the record, if Trudeau, if you're watching, we have not done that at all.
No, this is just hypotheticals. This is hypothetical situations. Non-financial advice. Yeah, hypothetical scenarios. So, that's kind of funny.
Mm. Okay, that's everything we got for you. So,
check.
If there's,
do you have any questions for us?
Yeah, questions for us.
What would you say the number one way to grow on YouTube is?
Well, actually,
if you asked me two weeks ago, that was the old answer. It was consistency. If you asked me
if you asked me 2 weeks ago, my answer would be different than it is now. Because in the last 2 weeks, we had a video like pop off on YouTube and do really well, and we kind of made us understand like the only thing that matters on YouTube, especially if you're doing a long form video, is your title, your thumbnail, and your click through rate. In terms of like, which the click-through rate kind of accounts for both title and thumbnail. But we found that like, this video did exceptionally well on our channel. And we, like, when I posted the video, it had 11% click-through rate. in terms of like the amount of people that would see the thumbnail and click to watch the video. And then that video went crazy. And so we were just thinking, like, if you can get your videos as high of a click-through rate on their thumbnails as possible, everything else will fall into place.
That's also not to say, like, view retention also matters. So it's not to say you can make a shit video.
Yeah, but I would say it's not as important. I'd say it's – because I would say that the baseline for the quality of the actual content of the video doesn't have to be as high as a lot of people think it is. Because a lot of people will be like – they'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours making a video. And then they'll basically just fine-tune every last little bit to make it as good as possible, where you only needed, like, in terms of, like, say, percentages, 0 to 100% going the craziest you ever could, you only need about a 70% to, like, have a video that holds people enough for the YouTube algorithm to really understand that people like this video. You spend the rest of that time that you'd save on your title and thumbnail, and that will probably make up the difference in terms of just growing on YouTube. So that's what we found, and, like, it's just, like... That's everything from what we've understood in the last week or so, just seeing how this video's performed, plus our next videos, which have also done really well. So,
but then with that, it can be a hit or miss, because it's like, sure, there's a thumbnail that you think this is going to crush, and like, it's not, it doesn't, it just, that people don't resonate with it for whatever reason. So again, kind of like consistency matters, right? Like being consistent, because the only reason I say consistency matters is not anymore, because back in the day, 2017, 2018, 2019, YouTube used to be like, it doesn't really matter what you're posting. As long as you're posting on a regular basis, people know to come back. People know to come watch and see, look for your new stuff.
Yeah.
But that's switched now to like, your consistency doesn't matter as much. It's more like how good your videos are and like if the content's actually good. But the consistency is kind of a vehicle to get the reps in and get the practice in. And like, rather than kind of like spending all year on one video and then posting that one video, and then you do that and it, say, doesn't do very well. It's just one of those things where... if you kind of had for that whole year, you've been posting every single week and getting the reps in, by the end of the year, you would have more information, more data, as well as more skill and knowledge as to what does better on YouTube. So it's a mix of like consistency to get the reps in, but also just having banger stories in general, and just like having banger content that's like, that people like to resonate with, and finding an interesting angle. Like I said, is like that whole pizza thing, great angle. But like you can't, it's, the days of like just like vlogging and saying I'm here doing this doesn't really work anymore. So
okay, do you think I've been like doing like a lot of studying like over the last couple weeks on watching just a ton of YouTube videos and seeing like how people are editing them and that, do you think it's really important to have like the first couple minutes super engaging and then it's okay to
I would like say that the first, like everyone says like, oh, first 15 seconds, right? Now that's true, like your first 15 seconds do matter. I would say, if anything, the first minute is the most important, because even that video that Steven was talking about that did really well for us that we posted 2 weeks ago or whatever, we had a really solid hook. But the hook doesn't have to be like really quick of like, we did this and this and this and this and this and this and this in 15 seconds, then you're done. And it just goes on to the video. Like the hook was like very... it was engaging because it kind of like led you through the story and gave you context as to what we're doing. And then we kind of like then started the video a minute in, right when kind of like the actual like live action content was happening, and kind of like, now you're here, you're caught up to speed, you know what's going on. So like the first minute is really important as to like telling the backstory, giving people context, telling the story as best you can to try to get people caught up to where you are. And then kind of going into like the live action stuff that's like maybe a bit more unscripted, a bit more like what might happen, who knows, that kind of stuff. Right.
Okay. It's just tell good tricky stories is the only thing to, at the end of the day,
if you have any questions, just send us a DM and we can try to answer them too.
Yeah, I definitely will.
I mean, not that we have all the answers, but I feel like I have at least some knowledge as to what might do well. So
we've coached a few people in terms of being like, hey, I want to do YouTube and stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, the best way to describe it is that it is just hard. It's a hard platform to kind of work on, because it's just like, especially with people like Mr. Beast out there, it's a hard place to compete. And so if you want the quick win, TikTok and Reels is your place to go. But if you want sustainable and kind of like a very strong presence, that's where YouTube would
be. But using TikTok and Reels to fuel your YouTube is a great idea. So like in your, like basically start promoting, once you start kind of posting more consistently on YouTube, start promoting your YouTube in your Reels, and then people will come, because we've had like, we've posted TikToks and said, hey, go check out the full video on YouTube, and that's literally like our video has gotten an extra 10,000, 20,000 views just from that. mm-hmm. right? So it's like, it's one of those things where like, use what you can, like use it as a marketing source to funnel people over.
Yeah.
Like, you don't necessarily have to rely completely on the YouTube algorithm to push your video. Mm-hmm. So there's that, there's a couple ways you can kind of hack it and do things like that. So
yeah. 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 That's like what I did with my Instagram was, cause I grew really fast on TikTok and
yeah.
my views were insane. And I just, what back when TikTok had like the pinned comment, I'd yeah. pin it and like say, like do some call to action to get people to go yeah. follow my Instagram. And I yeah. think that's what like helped boost my Instagram to like get it out of the shadow ban phase or whatever.
Yeah.
And helped
yeah.
it growing yeah. really fast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, that makes total sense. And then obviously now you're doing well on Instagram Reels. So that probably helps mm-hmm. just organically get followers and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. 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 Definitely does.
Nice. So, okay. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thanks, Justin, for the time and coming on, because this is, I think people are going to find this very valuable. Even I did. I thought this was very interesting just to kind of learn exactly what you do, how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you. And if anyone ever has any questions, just feel free to shoot me a DM and try to get
yeah,
back
where,
to you.
Where can people, yeah, where should people find you on platforms on the internet?
Do search up my name, Justin Chiquette, on Instagram and TikTok and whatever other social platforms out there. It's all the same.
We'll also have it linked down below. So if you guys are watching, you can go down below and hit the links and go there and go give them Sosma follow on Instagram, TikTok, mm-hmm. all of the above. Go YouTube.
Pinterest.
Grows YouTube. So
yeah. Follow them on YouTube. Pinterest as well.
Yeah, Pinterest as well. Yeah. That's a good one. So. Okay, cool. Thank you for watching, everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Goodbye. Okay,